In the meantime, let's get into some of this news that is affecting our community on this Friday afternoon. We start in Hillsborough, where several residents, were without water after a water main break yesterday. It was caused by a contractor working at the intersection of Oakdale Drive and Orange Grove Road. And the water is back on now, but for about 24 hours there was a boil water ban, which should be pretty close to expiring at this point. There is a water pressure advisory as things return to normal, and that return to normal should be happening sometime in the next couple hours here. Some of the places that were affected by that included Cedar Ridge High School and Grady Brown Elementary School. Speaking of Grady Brown Elementary School, they got some pretty fun news this week as fifth grader Isaiah Henry qualified for the Scripps National Spelling Bee. He won a regional contest in Durham, and that qualified him for the National Spelling Bee that will be in Washington, D.C., and that starts on May 30th. Congratulations to him, and we'll keep you updated once that competition begins. Earlier in the week, Orange County commissioners voted narrowly to reject a zoning request for a proposed Dollar General store. It was going to be out on 54 in White Cross. The board's usually closer to unanimous on questions like this, but in this case, the final vote was 4-3, and that came after a long discussion, including an hour's worth of public comment. I visited with County Commissioner Jamesetta Bedford earlier in the week, and she told me what it all came down to.
When there's a rezoning request, it's really not about the specific vendor. Like, it's not about Dollar General, or it's not about if it was a bookstore or a CVS drugstore. It's about land use and only land use. Some commissioners are very much pro-economic development along 54, and then others felt that it really was not appropriate and that it was basically inconsistent with the comprehensive plan and would disturb that rural character at White Cross. And that a retail store, given that there are other retail stores there, wasn't particularly going to diversify what was available for residents either.
Jamesetta Bedford speaking there. You can find the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Next Wednesday, one of Chapel Hill's downtown staples is holding a 100th birthday party. Sutton's Drugstore is going to celebrate a century of being on Franklin Street. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell stopped by to learn more details and to get a reminder of what makes it such a special place.
When you walk into Sutton's Drugstore, you can tell it is undoubtedly a family business. Although maybe not in the way that immediately comes to mind. It's not been passed along from one generation of a bloodline to another, but the Chapel Hill shop has fostered and maintained its own community over the course of its four owners. Current owner, Don Penny, is perhaps the most prominent example, since his parents met while working at the store, and he's worked here in some form since he was 13 years old. Penny ran the diner side of operations from the 1990s onward, taking full ownership of the business once the pharmacy side of Sutton's was bought out in 2014. The title of owner, and Sutton's having two additional locations to its name, hasn't changed Penny's attitude coming into work each day, as he still helps out with any job and trades hellos and how are yous with regular customers.
Just get that bag to me. Would you get a burger? You ain't had one of those, have you?
The drugstore was first opened in 1923 by Linwood and Lucy Sutton, and its pharmacy was the main business for many years, although the food component was always there, as people grabbed snacks waiting for their prescriptions to be filled. Some of the trappings have gone away, like the toy store and the medicine aisles, but the back counter and pharmacy sign still hangs as a reminder of its operations under the prior owner, Jim Woodard. Penny credits several things for the grill's longevity and popularity. One is the family of staff members he's assembled and largely kept the same for decades. But he said another is Sutton's ability to adapt to the times, which was perhaps tested the most in 2020. Like so many other local restaurants, Sutton's closed during the first months of COVID-19's spread. At one point, Penny said it looked like the drugstore was at risk of staying closed before the community of customers raised $45,000 to help keep it afloat. He said with that money, his focus was on keeping his staff members together.
My first goal was to make sure the employees were taken care of. That's it, because they are my offense. They're the ones that make you want to come back and eat.
That group who comes back, whether it's current students, regulars at the shop, or people visiting to find their photo on the wall, are the extended family of Sutton's. That willingness to help and refusal to let it close is another reflection of how the drugstore is included in some's definition of Chapel Hill and Franklin Street. Penny says he weighs that responsibility and tries to have a balanced approach to the business.
We're in a college town, but we only rely on about 35 to 40% students. The rest of it is alumni, locals, and the community. We just want to make sure that our roots stay there, and the students, you know, are our next generation going to go through, and then they become alumni and come back. Good philosophy says, your customers will tell you which direction to go if you'll just take the time to listen.
A close sense of community is not unheard of for other restaurants or businesses in college towns, but the affinity for Sutton's Drugstore runs deeply in ways that are hard to put into words beyond this. The staff makes its patrons feel at home. Descriptions of recognizing customers and stories of their traditions eating at the shop help paint a picture of its depth of comfort. And Penny is full of those tales.
And it's amazing how many children are born and they named after Sutton. Sutton is their name. You know, a lot of our customers, I think there's four or five of them that named their child Sutton or their dog. You know, so we have quite a few family, as we see, four-legged family going around here.
Past celebrations of Sutton's have reflected that support as well. Penny said the latest benchmark events for the store's 90th and 95th birthdays saw thousands of hot dogs sold each time. And on Wednesday, from 11 to 2:30, they're planning another big bash on Franklin Street. According to Penny, there will be decorations, a DJ, and a deal for those who eat in person.
Well, if it's anything like the 90th anniversary, expect a long wait, but we're doing dollar get you a hot dogs, fries, and a drink. The first 100 people get a t-shirt, and the customers after that get cups.
Additionally, the drugstore is taking video submissions of people's best Sutton's stories that will play throughout the celebration. Find details on how to send one by visiting chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can also find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Update on a couple of issues that we've been following this afternoon now. We had a power outage in Farrington Village earlier today, leaving about 1,700 customers without power. Some of those customers lost power as early as 7 a.m. The stoplight on 15501 is not affected, but most of the rest of Farrington Village was affected earlier in the day. We'll keep you updated on that as that power gets closer to being restored. We also did have a flood warning earlier today in Orange County. That was allowed to expire at a little after 2 o'clock this afternoon. We do still have a whole lot of rain and a lot of standing water out on the roadways, and some of the low-lying areas may still have some pretty deep puddles and flooding. So be careful if you're out and about. Time now for sports, and we start sports by talking baseball, as the Diamond Heels have had a pretty good 24 hours since last we spoke. They started off yesterday right after the conclusion of News on the Hill, and that was a game that I was listening to, and it sounded like they were going to struggle. They're having a hard time hitting. Then all of a sudden, they threw up a bunch of runs right after I stopped listening and got out of the car. They put up a 6-run fourth inning after I stopped listening at the bottom of the third, highlighted by a 3-run home run for Tomas Frick. And that, coupled with their morning win today as they won 10-6 in the first game of a doubleheader, means that they have won another series. That is four consecutive series that the team has won in ACC play. And it's a good thing they won the one this morning, because they are currently trailing 8-3 against Georgia Tech as they try to finish up that series a little bit early today and get on out of Georgia before the rain gets any worse. So we'll keep an eye on that for the next few minutes here. Hopefully they make a little bit of a comeback. Elsewhere in sports, top-ranked UNC women's tennis shut out NC State 7-0. They'll be at it again tomorrow, hosting Wake Forest. Right after that one wraps up, the men will host Duke at 2:30. Also had a doubleheader for Tar Heel lacrosse. Fifth-ranked women were set to host Pitt at 2, Not sure that that one happened, though. Men were supposed to be hosting Virginia starting a little bit ago. We'll see what happens with those on the schedule come Monday. Durham Bulls got their third straight win last night, took 7 runs in the 6th, and they ended up with an easy win over Jacksonville, 11-7. They'll get started with Game 4 of that series in Jacksonville tonight at 7.